Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by Adam Morris. Adam, welcome to the year of the burner account.
This is the year of the burner account. And one of my favorite, it's like the Chinese calendar where it's the year of the rabbit, this is the year of the horse, this is the year of the burner account.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of odd when I was eating Chinese food, at the beginning of the year, and I saw burner account as one of the, as one of the months. And that was, way to go, NBA. Way to go.
It's just a picture of Brian Colangelo. And KD. That's the icon.
Brian Colangelo and KD are the Spider-Man meme at each other, talking about each other's burner accounts. That's where we're going to start our show and spend most of our show. There isn't much going on for the Lakers. They have their workouts and stuff, but they're working out all kinds of people they aren't going to draft. Magic and Rob Pelinka linked a ton of stuff to reporters on how shitty LiAngelo Ball's workout was. That was I thought that was pretty
great. Let's talk about that.
All right, we can get to that.
I saw Bavada move the line too of him getting drafted. It's like tanked.
Yeah, it dropped. So we'll have some fun. We'll see where the show takes us. We're going to talk about the Philadelphia situation, how or if it might affect the Lakers. That might come up. LeBron had an interesting quote about Dan Gilbert. And then I'm gonna see if I can convince Adam about this Kevin Durant to LA rumor or theory that I have. As always, make sure you guys are following the show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Silver Screen and Roll, Lakers Outsiders. You can follow me on Twitter at Anthony Irwin LA. You can follow Adam on Twitter at Adam_Morris. You can listen to us every single Friday. To hear us talk about the entire NBA, and it has a very similar tone to how this is going to go. Enough of that rambling, though.
That's like a 10-minute intro, Anthony. That was a long intro.
It's a lot of places. It's a lot of platforms that this show is on. So let's go into the burner stuff, because
let's run right in.
Where does this rank for you?
Number two.
All time behind Kevin Durant's burner situation.
Sorry, I'll let you finish.
But Kevin, like, you have a president of basketball operations who was hired by the NBA because Sam Hinkie was seen as too embarrassing because of the tanking situation. This is what the NBA thought was a good idea, to replace Sam Hinkie, and either Brian Colangelo or his wife at this point. Those are the two main subjects here behind these accounts. But one, two, or both of those guys or people were tweeting all kinds of stuff. My favorite was Colangelo's accounts talking about the collar shirts he wears.
Oh, it's the best. The best.
What was your favorite aspect of everything?
Oh, man, I've already forgotten, to be honest with you. The collared parts are great just because it really did have the Trump, you know, like, my hands are fine. There's nothing wrong with my hand. It's actually normal size. It had that in there. Like, the collars are normal. I don't know why people are talking about it. It's really not worth talking about. It's just funny when something so stupid bugs someone.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it is.
Yeah. Well, I took it as Colangelo's wife buys his shirts and he's
right. Yep.
Like, what are you talking about? The shirts collars are too big. I bought them just the other day. I specifically asked for cool looking shirts.
Yeah, we're cool. Okay, yeah. The guy at Joseph A. Bank said this one was perfect. It was on sale. That part was great. I didn't ever hear about this collar story. Yeah, I usually hear about these types of things, but I never even knew about this until yesterday. This was the first time I even heard about Collargate. Which, by the way, are we calling? What, do we have a name for this yet? Is it Collargate?
Isn't it? Burnergate?
Is it Burnergate?
I think we can roll with Burnergate, even though I think it's wrong that everything gets a gate at this point. Like, it wasn't Watergate-gate. It was...
Collarangelo? We could roll with that one? That's an Anthony pun right there.
Lion Colangelo is...
Lion Colangelo is good. That's a good one. That's what we got to go with, Lion Colangelo.
Do you buy that it was his wife, or do you buy that, or their initial...
Man. It's how could it not be? I mean, it's got to be the stuff that came out. So we're recording this at night on Wednesday, and the latest evidence. First of all, it's somebody that knows. The whole point of whether it was Brian, his wife, or not, it was somebody that has broken the trust in the Sixers organization. Because it seems to be so clearly Brian's thoughts, whether they were coming from him or from his wife, it's clearly his thoughts, and so it's done. But I think all the evidence really strongly points to it being his wife.
Potential HIPAA violations.
That's what's crazy about this. There's actually, a lot. It's kind of funny for us to joke about, but the real dark extreme of this is like a drawn-out court.
Yeah,
a drawn-out court case that it's pretty wild. It tells you – it's funny, man. The internet is addicting. That's really what this comes down to, is the internet is absolutely addicting, and if you don't think so, you're just fooling yourself, because here's somebody with so much power, a great job, all of these things – and like, he just can't get away from the internet. He has to know how stupid this is, but he's just drawn in like, I'll just show this one tweet that'll really set the story straight, which of course is a fool's errand. There's no controlling the internet. It's like so many people have tried, right? They've tried to control the narrative on Twitter or just in the internet in general. It's shapeless, formless. You cannot like,
right.
It's a network that has no leader. There's no way for you to control that kind of story. And so, but it sucked him right in.
You can kind of guide the direction of a conversation, but once it gets away from you, you just got to let it go. You got to step away. And you just got to let it go. And wherever the mentions go, if you have to apologize, you apologize, but you just get away from that. Otherwise you risk
This is what Donald Trump knows, right? Is that no story lasts more than 24 hours. So you could really say the craziest things you want, and as long as you just move on, just get out.
Then get out.
Don't dwell on. Don't issue an apology. Don't ever apologize. Just keep going.
Yep. Just get out. All right. We're gonna come back, and we're gonna have a little bit more fun. That took a dark turn because of the actual legal potential ramifications. But when we come back, we're gonna figure out which NBA players or NBA entities are most likely to have a burner account. And we're gonna talk about our own. Like I have accounts. I have burner accounts on there. we'll talk about that all here in a second. Somehow you don't sound surprised that I might have a burner account.
Not at all. Not absolutely not. I wonder how you have so many followers, but I'm guessing at least 1,000 of those are yourself.
I just go on there.
Every tweet has like 20 likes. I'm like, what? What's going on? It wasn't even good. I know the Lakers market is like a circle jerk, but 25 retweets off of the dumbest pun.
I mean, it's honestly just to piss you off. Like my whole existence is to piss you off. But really, the reason I have burner accounts is I do have people who have either blocked me or I have blocked, and they occasionally put stuff on the internet that I need to be able to see anyway. So I have accounts that I go there and I see, and I monitor what's going on from that standpoint. It's helpful in that respect, but I would never think, like, if I have something to say, I'll either say it and I'll say it on Twitter, or I'll DM it to like our group or people that I trust.
Right, for sure. The DM is like the trusted group of friends. DM is a safe space, because it's like, you know what? This is too dumb to put on actual Twitter, so I'm going to throw it out there. Be it a opinion about a player or coach or whatever, just you blow off steam.
Yeah,
I'll say this. I don't have a burner account, but the first review on Locked On Nuggets comes from somebody named Adam, and it's very favorable. I'm not gonna say the points that this mysterious Adam raises about Locked On being a great podcast. Are not genuine, but
Adam is a great looking guy. He wears the best collars. which NBA player, coach, or whatever, who in the NBA is most likely, do you think, to have a burner?
Well, first of all,
oh no,
I want you to know this ominous text I got. You're looking. I just got this text. I don't know if you can see it. My mom just texted me. My mother, who rarely texts me, what is your Twitter account? Which, given the subject we're talking about, very ominous. I had talked to her for a couple of days, and I get that. Like, uh-oh.
My mother-in-law the other day said, I'm not good at Twitter.
That's an awesome burn. How do you have confidence?
That's it.
That would just break me.
my mother-in-law, she was like, you know, Twitter isn't your thing. Like, I don't think Twitter is your thing.
Look, I have said this for years, but, you know, you don't listen to me, so.
Oh, man. I just picked up 5 followers just to piss you off. But so, yeah, who do you think is most likely to have a burner account other than Durant and Colangelo?
All right. So, first of all, every NBA player has a burner account. Yes. I honestly believe this. Being inside the Nuggets locker room now for several seasons and talking and interacting with them, they all seem to know everything we tweet, and like they're not following. So I know they search ads, but they also just have to have burner accounts that they, I don't know if they all use them the way that Brian Colangelo did. The funny thing about the story isn't that he had a burner account. It's that
it's
the way
he used it.
Yeah. He used it in the most absurd and also illegal way possible.
Dumb.
Again, allegedly. Again, uh-huh. We should put that in there. Yeah. I don't want to bury the guy who's innocent till guilty. But so I think all or most players have a burner account. My boy Nikola Jokic doesn't even have a regular account, so I don't think he has a burner account either. He's not on any social platform.
Or he does have one and he doesn't have an official account.
Man, this dude doesn't have one, man.
No.
I don't think he's a technology guy in any capacity. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. The players have one, but what I was got to thinking was, I bet a bunch of the owners have burner accounts as well.
Yeah.
Because
Dan Gilbert
think there's
definitely
this,
has one.
100%. One, there's no way he has one. He's got like 30.
Yeah.
He definitely has 30. I think David Stern might have one.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a really, like,
if David Stern was the ultimate Colangelo, right? Like, he was like Brian Colangelo on steroids in terms of like abuse of power, ego trip, insecure about people offending him.
Like, David Stern has definitely asked Twitter if they could take down the one of him choking on water, that gif of him choking on
He's definitely filed like a cease and desist or something.
or if there's an account that just has an inordinate amount of tweets sent to players about the clothes that they're wearing, right? Like, that's definitely here's who I think has one and uses it like Colangelo. Are you ready for this?
Oh, I'm so ready.
It's Kobe.
Oh, man, you're right. He's definitely – look, man, so this is a Lakers podcast, and I know this is unpopular to say. I love – Kobe was my favorite player for several years, so I'm by no means a Kobe hater. Mm-hmm. But his post-career, as great as it's been, like the movies, the details, all the stuff I've really enjoyed just as a consumer. Like, I've enjoyed them, but every single one has one thing in common. They all have one thing in common, and that is that they are all propaganda for Kobe's greatness. They are all him patting himself on the back and telling all of us lesser beings, which we are, by the way. He is like an impressive being, so he's accurate.
I was going to say, like, we are objectively lesser, but yeah.
But it's all, let me impart some wisdom on all of you heathens that will make you better. And it's kind of funny. It's kind of annoying, but it's so over the top that it's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, I wrote the other day because they announced that he's sending out a book that happens to come out on my birthday, Adam.
Like, oh, that's perfect.
Of course.
Yeah, that's perfect.
But I wrote that, you know, his first move afterward, he said he wanted to write stories, right? He said he wanted to go into storytelling, and that storytelling is always
stories.
Going...
Stories is incorrect. He wants to tell a story over and over and over again. And that story is, I'm Kobe Bryant, I'm something special.
Harrison put it really well because he kind of was keeping an eye on what I was going to write about Kobe just to make sure I didn't go off the handle too far. But he said that, like, people who are super successful always convince themselves that it's because they are special, right?
You're right about this. I do want to make the point that Kobe is special.
Oh, he is. But they seem to ignore the possibility of luck. Kobe probably would have you think that if he was 5'10", he'd be just as successful as he is right now, right? And those are the things that, like, That's what billionaires do. That's what super successful people do, is they convince themselves, this is how I got here, and you guys need to follow my footsteps. It's like, Kobe, I can't just become 6'7" and super athletic. Like, that's not – if that's
but
one
you
of your
can
steps.
But you can be the Mamba of something, though. We don't know what. It's probably not tweeting, as your mother-in-law has told you, but, you know, maybe it's podcasting. I don't know. What can you be the Mamba of? We're not sure yet, but
that's going to be that's going to be his fourth bit of content, right? He's going to become he's going to start giving speeches on you know those inspirational speeches, and his tagline is going to be, "What are you going to be the Mamba of?"
Oh God! He is sort of like, you remember Little Miss Sunshine? Do you remember Greg Kinnear's character, the dad? Did you see this movie? Is this too, reference too old?
No, this was it's an old movie, but I remember it.
It's old. It was like 2000 or 2010. But he was like a motivation, like a really cheesy motivational speaker. That's going to be Kobe. Like at the end of this, is he really is just going to be talking about, you know? But I think it's true. Like, the thing is Kobe really is remarkable, and he really does have, I'm sure, a ton of advice. It's just so on the nose that it's kind of annoying. It's kind of hilarious. But every successful person does this. You mentioned, you know, CEOs of companies want to write the book about how you, oh, I'm so smart and this is how I got there. Let me tell you about how wise I am. And these books always read like, you know, somebody, they read like burner accounts.
They
read like Colangelo's burner accounts talking about how his collars are just perfectly fine.
Here's why my collars have helped me become a billionaire. All right, we're going to take a quick second here. When we come back, we'll either continue this conversation or we'll go into LeBron and Kevin Durant stuff. We'll do all that here in a second. I do think it's gonna, people are gonna yell at me for crapping on Kobe, but his detail stuff is kind of whatever. But I thought like the little miniature film that he won an Oscar for, like I thought that was kind of cool. And then I would be really interested to read his book. I just hope he's honest. Like I hope he's honest. Yeah, I hope.
And he has been, by the way. Mm-hmm. He's been a very good. He's been an interesting mix of honest and like really insightful in those ways. I just think there's this like underlying layer of insecurity that every human feels. That he like, you know, he'll let you go so far, and then once he goes that, once he allows you that far, he pulls back in like, oh yeah, but by the way, five rings. Enjoy LeBron's quest, but don't forget I've got five. Okay, like he always brings it back to that corny. You know, that corny space.
Although if I won five rings, I would totally bring it back. Like I would bring it back to that spot. Like that's how I would do it. All right, let's we'll just segue awkwardly, and I'll start with this LeBron quote, because I think this summer is shaping up to be really fascinating. So here's the quote. This is via Brian Windhorst and Rachel Nichols of ESPN. Quote, I've tried to put this franchise at a level that has always been seen in a positive light. From a basketball standpoint, from a social standpoint, from a brand standpoint, I get a lot of the light in the headlines, but I'm one. As long as I'm here playing for the franchise, when you see the Cavaliers, I want you to think of prestige and a great organization. When Nichols asked if James' relationship with Gilbert could affect his free agency decision, James said, we're going to see. That's not ominous at all.
Well, so here's the thing. Is this a surprise that him and Dan Gilbert like hate each other? We all know this, right? There hasn't been a, these guys just the other day had the awkward like interaction right after the Celtics series where he like walked right by him or whatever. Like these guys don't like each other, man. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. That's never going to heal. There's good reason for LeBron to hate Dan Gilbert. And there's semi reasons for Dan Gilbert to once upon a time feel feelings towards LeBron. So I get it. But I don't know how ominous that is. I don't read into that quote. And that's not a quote that like moves the needle for me in terms of, is he going to stay or is he going to go? First of all, I think he's going to go. I think he's going to leave and probably go to your Lakers, because you guys have built such a great foundation and managed your team so well over the years. Who wouldn't want to go? But
that hurt you so bad.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, you guys won like 30 something game. I mean, clearly you're on the right path. So it makes sense that he would throw himself out to Los Angeles. But no, but where was I going before that? You really threw me off track with the stupid Lakers part.
Well, you said he was probably going to go, and that this doesn't really move the needle for him.
So there's other things that moved the needle for me that made me like open my eyes, and this wasn't one of them. This was just like, what was he supposed to say in that moment?
Yeah, I think he's definitely playing both sides of it. Like I don't think one quote outweighs the other with saying how he wanted to lift up this organization, because that organization does represent the city that he's from. So like that's definitely going to matter to him. But on the other hand, look, I think a player's relationship with the owner is kind of important. And that's one of the things that the Lakers have maybe erred too far to that side of the equation, right? Where they gave Kobe the $48 million deal that nobody else was really offering at that time. Or, you know, they didn't, you know, like the Boston Celtics are in this place right now because their owner and their management said, we're going to try to get as many assets as we can at the end of this Paul Pierce era and this Kevin Garnett era, and we're going to see what we can turn that into. And now, fortunately, Mikhail Prokhorov was
I was going to say, did they really collect assets? Like, you make it sound like they had this long, drawn-out process. They had half of their assets came on one deal.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. But the Lakers would never have made that trade. Right? That would never happen.
Well, they would have never have traded Kobe, yeah, for the sentimental factor, which there's something to be said for that, but you're mm-hmm. right.
And so, like, that's where I think from the Lakers' standpoint, that's one of the things that they can kind of say in the meeting is and all you can do is sit down, try to get a meeting with LeBron, try to get a meeting with Kevin Durant, and go from there. And they can
you think that really moves the needle?
No, not nearly as much as the other stuff. Not nearly as much as the aforementioned 30 wins that you were talking about.
Yes, exactly.
But you know, it's just one of those things that they can say that over the course of their organizational history, they have always treated superstars right. They have never not. There is no Dan Gilbert pseudo-slavery letter after LeBron left. That has never happened. Even with the Shaq trade, they
but
they,
there's lots of organizations that could say the same thing that aren't going to get a meeting with him. So I look, that has nothing to do with it.
It's not why they're going to get the meeting, but I think it helps.
I think you know how you cough, like you say you have a weekend and you want to get a day early on your week. You got weekend plans. It's like, I'm going to call in sick Friday. So on Thursday you start coughing so everyone can hear it. You're like planting the seed. Uh-huh. So people are like, oh yeah, he was sick yesterday. that's LeBron. To me, what moves the needle about him leaving is almost every quote he has is just like very much a really carrying a lot of the load here, you know, really worn out for you guys see how awesome things I'm very unselfish of me, what I'm doing for this organization. And so the first half of that quote in a lot of ways speaks more to me than the second half, just because to me, he's planning the, you know, I came here and did what I was supposed to do. Right, guys? So is it cool if I leave a little early?
The context before the quote started was how he feels at peace with what the Cavs have.
So at peace. That's what I think. And he should.
Well, the Cavs were a laughing stock before he showed up both times. Like
they will return from whence they came once he leaves.
All right, we're gonna last little bit here, and then I'll let you go. The big theory that I'm starting to convince Laker fans on is this Kevin Durant to LA thing, and how unhappy he seems in Golden State. Did you happen to catch the video of him like saying somehow that people didn't see him play before he got to Golden State?
Oh, God. Man, I'm telling you, like, the thing the internet has revealed to all of us is just how insecure we are as humans. Like, mm-hmm. It's built into our DNA to just be, like, really insecure. It was the most ridiculous comment ever.
It was
they
terrible.
Made a finals. He won an MVP. Yeah. It was, like, one of the most – he has a giant shoe deal. Like, of course people know who he is. Are you kidding me? He really, again, all of these players, and it sucks. LeBron used to do this, I think, a lot more at the earlier parts of his career. Remember the dunk and the Jordan Clark? Who was it? Who was it that dunked on him and he had to, like, delete the video?
Oh, Crawford.
Jordan Crawford. He had those types of things. I think he's been better about it lately. But these guys all, like, they really think they're that like clever at forcing the narrative of, oh, I was this young underdog and you guys didn't know, but I actually, come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, but I think that again gets back to, like, I think it hurts Kevin Durant how far ahead of him on the favorability scale that Stephen Curry is. He's the finals MVP and everybody there knows that that's Steph's organization and it will never be anything but Steph's organization. And I think
he should have known that before he went though.
But we're finding out how not self-aware he is.
Yeah. Yeah. That's probably true. And to be honest with you, so Tim Kawakami just put an article out basically saying all these rumors about KD leaving are BS. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to believe he's plugged in, he knows the team. So my guess is he actually stays. But if he were to leave, going to the Lakers would be such a weird, if that was the issue, that he felt so much like a second son, and which he should in with the Warriors. Like, we know a lot of Warriors fans that say the same thing. We like the old team, not this new one's better, but we like the old one. It was more fun. Mm-hmm. If he's feeling that, why would he go to the Lakers? To me, the Lakers are a team that comes with that baggage that I don't think that it would just be like that, only even more. And if he was going there with LeBron, I mean, who's the guy?
I don't think so. Here's the scenario that I think makes the most sense for everybody involved, and I think is the most interesting dynamic moving forward for the NBA. Durant leaves the Warriors, goes to the Lakers. Paul George leaves. Paul George leaves OKC, goes to the Lakers. LeBron goes to Houston, and now you have the super team in Golden State is no longer, right, and so they become vulnerable.
But I mean, they still have that team that won 73 games. So
yeah, but they'd still have to find a replacement for either the Durant or the Harrison Barnes role, right? Like that. Durant goes to the Lakers, and I agree with your point that the Lakers have that history that he will never be the guy as a Laker. But the fact that the Lakers are coming from such a down period makes it so he's as close to that as you're going to get, right? So if he plays a central role in getting the Lakers to a title, like, that does stuff for your, I guess, brand that it doesn't do for others in other situations.
This is going to be a hot take, way hotter than I like, the hotter of a take than I like to give usually. But
oh boy,
watching this playoffs has really been eye opening about Kevin Durant's just like basketball IQ and feel. Like, I feel like he's actually a below average basketball IQ guy for the level of talent. He's incredibly talented.
Yeah.
He's one of the best scorers. How confident are you that KD wins a title this year and then goes to the Lakers? How confident are you that he's actually learned the lessons it takes to lead a team to the finals? Because he's talented enough to obviously put them in the discussion, but he might still have some lumps to take along the way before he's an actual like leader of a team to the finals.
I think you need the talent, period, right? So like, there is no scenario.
The talent is more important for sure.
There is no scenario where like Kevin Durant comes to the Lakers and I'm like, ah, bleep. Well, other than like how lame he is, you know, other than that. But I think the point that you're making about the IQ stuff, I think that has as much to do with his own personal basketball IQ, but also where he's come up from in the entirety of his NBA. When the chips are down, or when things aren't going the way that they should for the teams that he's played on before getting to Golden State, it was just ISO ball. It was, hey, we need a bucket.
That's why he has a low basketball IQ relative to his talent. Mm-hmm. Again, and mm-hmm. It sounds bad saying low basketball IQ. I think he's an incredibly smart guy, but I'm just saying, watching him sometimes disrupt the flow of offense for the Warriors and miss some relatively easy reads. He's had a lot of really, really easy reads that he's missed in that conference finals. I just look at LeBron from his first year all the way up until 2011 and then 2012 on. And LeBron had, I really believe this, he had to go through those experiences to get to where he got. I think most players have to go through something like that. And I don't know that KD has gone through that yet. He was on the most talented team of all time, and so they're going to get these championships. But I don't know that he's actually gone through the steps. And if he were to take a step back, I think he would have to be thrown back into those lessons.
How do you think, if he does leave Golden State and goes to the Lakers, how do you think that's received? Because I think it's really fascinating. Because he can't say that I'm doing that for basketball reasons, right? He's doing that purely for ego reasons, and people don't seem to like that. But they would welcome it because of what he's done in going to Golden State just for basketball reasons. It's like an odd. It'd be fascinating to watch.
I think the truth is he's going to have a really hard time, harder even than LeBron, at sort of winning over fan bases, I think, because the talent is there. People love the talent, admire the talent. I do. I love watching him play. I think he's just so good. Mm-hmm. But from getting the stands, like, is he going to have stands? You know, and I don't know if he will. It's going to take so much for him to get there, in part because I do think he's a unique personality, which I actually love. I like when players are different. you know, I don't like just the cookie cutter answers and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he says the wrong thing at the wrong time sometimes. And that's what makes him unique. But I don't know that he has the charisma of a LeBron James and some of those things to really kind of win back the fan base. So I wouldn't be surprised if he came here and say the roster had Lonzo and Paul George and KD, if he was the best player, but still not the
most beloved
child.
Guy. That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
It'd be really interesting. The only reason I think he would be the most beloved guy is because there isn't a beloved guy inherently on the Lakers already, right? Like, Lonzo should be that, but you have the LeVar Ball situation. Paul George could theoretically be that, but he's Paul George. Like, he's milquetoast. And so, like, maybe it's Durant just because he's the best, and he would be the best player of those three.
Well, he would be the best player.
Yeah. All right, that'll so are you going to buy can I interest you in a Kevin Durant Lakers jersey? Like,
what, I love KD, man. I like KD a lot. I'm not getting a Lakers jersey, but as much as I loathe the Lakers exceptionalism that just permeates all fans in that fan base, I actually like a lot of the Lakers players, and so it's weird. I root against the jersey, but I root for the players a lot, and I would root for Kevin Durant as well.
It'd be a fun team. Like, I would – it'd be Lonzo, George, I guess.
Lonzo's my dude. You know that.
Yeah, Lonzo, George, Durant, KD, Randall, and either Ingram or Kuzma. Like, that's a fun team.
Fun team, man.
That'd be a fun team. I'm down. Kevin Durant. Hit me up. I'll teach you. I was in PR. I can help you out there. I can't. I definitely cannot.
You definitely cannot.
I suck at Twitter. All right. that'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. It was a little more out there. It was a little bit more wandering, but that's because there really isn't much going on. As we get into the offseason and we have a little bit more direct stuff to talk about, then we'll get to that stuff. But I had fun here tonight. Thank you very much, Adam, for hopping on. Check out our show every single Friday, Locked On NBA. We're going to be talking about – we'll still probably make fun of Jerry Colangelo on Friday. Like, I'll still do it. I'm down. But we'll talk about the finals that are going on and all that good stuff. Adam, where do you want people to find you? Where do you want people to find your stuff?
I don't want people to find me, man. You saw what happened to Colin. I don't want to be famous. Like, I really don't. If I could do everything over again, I would have a nom de plume. I wish I would have changed my name when I started writing.
The Ziller approach. All right. Yeah. That'll do it, though. Have a great day, everybody. Pete and I will be back at it again tomorrow. I think he's going to want to talk about some of the guys that the Lakers are working out, so you guys will enjoy that. Find the show everywhere that you find podcasts. Follow me on Twitter at AnthonyRNLA, at Locked On Lakers for the show, and at Adam_Morris. Have a good one.